Glory to God. This is the weekly podcast of Father Stephen Freeman from St. Anne Orthodox Church in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, and the author of the popular Glory to God for All Things blog site. Here is Father Stephen.
We've been speaking the last few weeks about the difference between living in a one-story universe and a two-story universe. The culture we live in generally will tell us that the universe we live in is two-story, if it tells us anything about God at all. The second story is the place where God dwells, where the angels dwell, where miracles belong, where all of these spiritual things are. And the first floor, the first story in which we live, is a world that's devoid of these things. It's a secular world, a world in which just normal and ordinary and usual things happen. It's only when we're invaded somehow by this second story that our world is touched by the spiritual. When in fact the church teaches us that the world should not be divided this way into two, but that in fact the world is one, that God is with us, that God has touched us in the world in which we live, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, God is here. He makes a great difference about how we live our lives, and especially how we understand our lives as Orthodox Christians, because the world is a very different place according to the teachings of the Church. The world is imbued with God, and we may encounter Him at every moment and every turn. There's a story told in Scripture in the second chapter of Kings in which Elisha, the great prophet, found himself constantly at something of a war with the king of Syria, who was persecuting the people of God. And we're told that one day Elisha had gotten up early in the morning and went out, and suddenly he saw an army with horses and chariots surrounding the city that the Syrian king had surrounded him and thought him captured. And there was a young man with Elisha who said to him, "Master, what shall we do?" And Elisha simply said to him, "Fear not, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And it said that Elisha prayed and said, "O Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." He didn't ask God to make the world different. He asked God to open this young man's eyes so that he could see. And it says, "The Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain where Elisha was, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha." And the story goes on to tell about the victory of Elisha and the victory of the Lord over the Syrian king and his wicked forces. But what I want you to remember with this is this key that Elisha simply prayed and said, "Lord, open his eyes." And God did. And what he saw, when he saw the truth of the world, he realized that he was in fact in no danger at all, that it was the forces of wickedness that were in danger. Well, I want to talk about one aspect of our life together as Christians that may help us to understand more fully what it is to live life in this one-story world and to have our eyes open so that we can see the truth of what is around us. Icons, which are a very important part of our worship, an important part of our prayer life, icons, images of the saints, images of Christ and of His Mother, icons are popularly referred to as windows to heaven. Of course, this is one of those places where language breaks down that I've spoken of before. If you're using language in a two-story world, heaven is the equivalent of upstairs. Heaven is that place removed from us. It would thus be a very peculiar thing to describe something as being windows to upstairs. We don't have windows to upstairs. The very language of the church shows that it means something quite different when we speak of icons as windows to heaven. Heaven is not somewhere up there. Icons somehow show us something different. Icons are not windows to another world. Icons are revelation of the truth of our existence here and now as we are in relationship with God. When we paint an icon of a saint, the effort is to paint the saint in the truth of his life. in the truth of his life, not simply in the mere historical appearance that he or she may have had as they lived on this earth, that is, with the limitations that people around them may have seen. Their eyes were not opened. In the icon, our eyes will be opened through the use of the symbolism of Byzantine style of inverse perspective. All of this will point us towards the holiness of a saint, to the truth of a saint. The same thing could be achieved by writing a story about their lives, but an icon does all of this in a single picture. The same thing is true of icons that show us biblical scenes. For instance, the icon of the crucifixion famously contains many elements that you would not literally have seen that day in Jerusalem. But if you knew the truth of everything that was happening that day in Jerusalem, then you would know all that is shown in the icon and realize that it's true and it is happening, and your eyes would be open. This is one of the great difficulties of our one-story world. It's not that we live on the first floor and that's all there is. It's that we live on the first floor and we don't know the half of it. We do not realize the true nature of where we are or when we are. Icons frequently show us much about the world as it truly is. This is the character of much of the lives we read about in the saints. They not only see what we see, they see much more. Indeed, we are told in Scripture, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." This is not a reference to a notion that if you're pure in heart, someday you will die and see the Lord. That completely misunderstands the verse and the teaching. "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." The verse tells us that the primary organ of vision for human beings is not the eye, but the heart. Our eyes will only see what our hearts will allow. Thus, we almost never see the truth of our enemies. As our language says, we are blinded to the truth. Anger blinds us. Hatred blinds us. Prejudice blinds us. Greed blinds us. Politics blinds us. Many things blind us. And that's a very great part of the Orthodox life, is living in such a way that we will be able to see more and more clearly the truth of our own existence and of the world around us. There are those non-Orthodox who view the making and venerating of icons as a non-essential thing in Christianity. They may be willing to tolerate it, but see no necessity in it. Making and venerating icons in the wisdom of the church is not only pleasant, but is in fact quite necessary. The veneration of an icon is an essential part of actually seeing it. The persons or situations that are presented to us in an icon are situations that call for humility of heart and a feeling of reverence. In some cases, the reverence is so deep that we not only kiss the icon involved, we actually prostrate ourselves to the ground before it, before we kiss the icon. For instance, this is the case of the Holy Cross when it is set out in the church, or the burial shroud of Christ. We have a culture where people bow themselves before money, before food, before the flesh, before power, before almost anything, but not the things of God. Our hearts are thus poisoned, and our vision becomes clouded. We cannot see or judge anything correctly. We do not see or know the true God, nor do we see our neighbors for who they truly are. The only corrective is to live a life learning to rightly honor those things that should be honored. If kissing an icon seems foreign, it may be merely cultural, but mind you, ours is a culture that has not taught us how to honor the things of God. I believe it was St. Theophan the Recluse who once said about our guardian angels that when we sin, we appear dirty. Almost, I think the word he used was like greasy. to our guardian angels. They find us to be somewhat loathsome when we sin, and yet they still minister to us. We don't see these things about ourselves. We see someone who may be a champion of the media, a champion of the movies, very famous and very rich, and yet our angels would see them as something very different than what we do. Not glamorous at all, but in fact repulsive. They see the truth of things, of heaven and of earth. When someone is entering the church through baptism, they renounce the devil. They have prayers of exorcism read over them. Then they turn towards the east, towards the altar of God, and are told to worship God. At that point, they bow to the ground for the first time. They are then given the creed to recite. There is an understanding that unless you bow down to the Lord God and worship Him, the words of the creed will remain closed to you. You will not hear them rightly, nor find them to be for your salvation. By the same token, each Sunday, we are told, brethren, let us love one another, that with one mind and one heart we may confess God as Trinity. We cannot say the creed in its truth on a Sunday unless we love one another, unless we forgive one another. Unless our hearts are pure, we will not see God. Unless our hearts are pure, we will not see the universe, ourselves, or anything around us as they are. Icons are windows to heaven because they show us the truth. If we had eyes to see, we could see the world as icon and see the truth that it shows to us. And so we walk through this one-story world and we pray to have our eyes opened. We make the sign of the cross frequently, almost as if we were brushing away the clouds of delusion that rise up from everything around us. We invoke the name of Christ without ceasing, begging His mercy. Icons are windows to heaven, but heaven is a window on this world. Christ Himself told us that the kingdom of God is among us. Blessed be His name, and may we see with pure hearts what only the light of Christ can illumine. Glory to God.
And that was Father Stephen Freeman with Glory to God. Father Stephen is the priest at St. Anne Orthodox Church in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, and hosts the Glory to God for All Things blog site, which can be accessed from his podcast site at ancientfaithradio.com. This is a listener-supported presentation of Ancient Faith Radio.